28 minutes before the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show here on your Catholic station. You supported Real Life Radio here with my guest, Chelsea Zimmerman. Listen to a little Moby Dick getting the lead out on this 75th birthday of Ringo Starr, asking who is your favorite drummer of any genre of all time. So far, John Bonham, the clear winner in LA Weekly, did a couple years ago, vote him as the number one drummer of all time. If you've got a thought, 855-949-1380, or email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. This bumper music brought to you by our own Chelsea Zimmer. Chelsea, thanks for holding on.
You're welcome.
Jeff, our producer here, says he also likes Bun E. Carlos from Cheap Trick. So, like I said, this is not my wheelhouse. So, maybe I go with Animal.
Okay, yeah. I can see that.
You can see that, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, let's continue what we were talking about before the break in terms of the bioethical reproductive implications of the Supreme Court decision on marriage. The LA Times having an editorial that you referred to that said something, I think somewhat strange. It said marriage equality doesn't immediately or necessarily erase cultural and legal attachments to biological dual gender parenting. You know, in other words, it's going to take us a while to get detached from the baggage of cultural and legal attachments to biological dual gender parenting.
Right. It's, the translation there is that those of us who are concerned with reproductive technologies and the harms that they have to both women and children need to just simply get rid of our quaint attachments to these things, this is going to be their battle. We're just attached to the idea that children need to know, that children have a right, not just need to know, they have a right to know who their biological parents are and be raised by those parents. it's these battling, dueling rights right now, and the children are losing, unfortunately.
Well, I know you have done some work on this too on your blog, reflectionsofaparalytic.com, if people want to check it out, in which adult children of surrogacy, for example, of these sort of third party reproductive scenarios, have come out and spoken about their own interior hurt and frustration over their lack of knowing their own biological heritage.
Yeah, well, the Anonymous Us Project. Alana Newman is one of the most outspoken donor-conceived children. She's an adult now. Actually, she's actually a mother herself. But she's the most outspoken. She's the founder of the Anonymous Us Project, which is, giving a platform, giving children, donor-conceived children, a voice. And then the Center for Bioethics and Culture actually did a whole documentary called Anonymous Father's Day, in which a lot of these donor-conceived adult children have spoken out. And they're speaking out. You have donor sibling registries where they're looking. They're searching for, not only who their biological parents are, but they have half siblings out there. They have biological brothers and sisters that they don't know, and that's the irony of a lot of this, is that a lot of these parents, they want to do, they want third-party reproduction because the parents, at least one or the other parent, wants to have some sort of biological tie to their child, but then they deliberately deprive them of the biological ties, of their other biological ties. And unfortunately, there's just not much. While everybody's hearts bleeds for like infertile and gay couples, the sympathy is just not there for the children created by this procedure when they're using anonymous sperm and egg donors. you know, Jennifer Law, the producer of the Anonymous Father's Day, she said she has another. They have another documentary called Exploitation, which exposes, you know, how women are used for their eggs. And she says, when I show exploitation, there's an overwhelming, oh my gosh, this is horrible, and we shouldn't do this to young women. Versus when she shows Anonymous Father's Day, it's like, well, so what? We've all had bad upbringing experiences. And, you know, and I've talked to friends of mine who are in favor of this stuff, and they're like, well, these kids should just know that they're loved so much that, you know, their parents went through so much trouble to create them. You know, they should just be happy. They wouldn't be alive otherwise. And
I know there was, Chelsea, a movement, and I'm still going on, I'm sure, and I know you've promoted it, Stop Surrogacy Now. Do you think, and hoping that the United States would join many other civilized countries throughout the world in outlawing surrogacy because of its innate problems, particularly even with issues of human trafficking and, you know, seeing people as baby mills and all this sort of thing. Do you think that this same-sex ruling has made it more difficult for the Stop Surrogacy Now movement?
Right. Well, it definitely has because, you know, as they pointed out, the Center for Bioethics and Code, the CBC pointed out, you know, this push for marriage equality, you know, it's going to be discrimination not letting people have children the way they want to have them. Now, you know, you do have states that ban surrogacy, and you have states that are that actually didn't Governor Christie just vetoed a bill that would have expanded surrogacy in New Jersey, I believe. But yeah, that's going to be the next bet. It's going to make it more difficult because now, you know, we've given these couples the right to marry, and now they need to have the right to have children. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to make it that much more difficult.
And so the child is the last concern on the issue in terms of the child's rights. It's all about the child as a token of sorts to satisfy adult rights. And, you know, that's the ironic thing in all this, of course, is how anti-child is.
The irony is, like you said, it's people who want a child so bad. And we shouldn't diminish that want, especially for, you know, legitimately infertile couples. But at the same time, that child's being turned into a commodity.
We're talking with Chelsea Zimmerman, who blogs at reflectionsofaparalytic.com, and also the editor-in-chief for Catholic Lane, an excellent Catholic blog, and does a lot of writing on biological and bioethical moral issues. The last thing I want to talk to you about, Chelsea, and I've been dying to talk to you about this since the whole Caitlyn Jenner phenomenon, and then right on the heels of that came out these stories that it's not just people who have gender dysphoria who feel out of place in their own bodies. There are these people who actually have fully functioning human bodies who find themselves identifying with interiorly being disabled, and they are wanting to intentionally be disabled, and they even have a catchy, trendy term called the transabled. I mean, this is a real deal, really?
Yeah. Well, actually, I've actually written about this a couple of years ago. It's not new. It's actually a mental illness, at least has been treated as one up till now, called body integrity identity disorder. And these are people, for the most part, they're typically people who, they call them amputee wannabes, who want to have one of their limbs amputated. But yeah, right after the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing, there was an article in the National Post, and this was where the term was first coined, where I first heard it. But yeah, they called themselves trans-abled, and it seems to encompass any otherwise able-bodied person who wants to transform his or her body to have some sort of physical impairment. And and it's being taken relatively seriously now. And like I said in my post about it, you know, there already have been a few isolated cases of doctors who have, not in this country, but in other countries, who have cut off healthy limbs for people. And it's being proposed on a much wider scale. And
I mean, in a sense, where, you know, the logical resistance to it, I mean, if you accept the fact that a person can define their own gender based on their interior desire, and the desiring self is the true self, not the exterior body, then why not transabled? Why not, you know, people who
transracial?
Sure, all of that. And based on what philosophical principle do you resist it?
Exactly. And you don't. You know, it's if we have a fundamental right to be physically remade, to how we feel about ourselves, and have society act in accordance with that, then, you know, we've crossed a cultural line that can lead to extreme outcomes like this, like we're seeing here. I mean, you were talking about cutting off healthy limbs. There's a woman in the UK, I wrote about her a few years ago, who she feels like her legs are not part of her body, but she doesn't want them cut off. She wants a doctor to give her a spinal cord injury. And that one really kind of, it made it a little bit more personal for me, which that's my injury, but she actually found a doctor. She couldn't afford it. I forget how much he said he'd do it for, but, she actually found a doctor who said he was willing to give her a spinal cord injury.
Wow. Yeah. I can imagine for somebody who has experienced and is experiencing a spinal cord injury, it's hard to comprehend.
With the transabled thing, actually a friend of mine brought up a really good point. She said, when I talked about it on Facebook, she said she wonders, you know, if people begin disabling themselves by choice, will that diminish the importance of making accommodations for those who are disabled accidentally or by disease? You know, what is that going to do for those of us who are legitimately I mean, we already have a handicap parking crisis, you know, people abusing the system for that. You know, what is that going to mean for the future if this does become the next the next step in our radical, you know, recreation of ourselves?
Well, Chelsea, keep up the great work and the writing, because you always keep these issues at the forefront and make us think about them. And I think that's very, very important. Chelsea Zimmerman with reflectionsofaparalytic.com. Blessings to you. Enjoy the beautiful Florida weather. Stay away from shark attacks. And I guess you got to go to North Carolina to have those.
Yeah, they're having that problem up there. We haven't had too much down here, I don't think so.
Chelsea, thanks so much, and God willing, we'll get you on next month, okay?
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll be back in just a minute on You Supported Real Life Radio, and this is The Mike Allen Show.